Hey, everybody, it's Brendan. This is sort of a momentous occasion, both for me as a producer and you as a listener. As you may know, our co-host Matt Chrisman, Kushbaum, is now officially a resident of New York City, and that means it is goodbye to the days of a choppy, thin, tinny-sounding track from Matt, which I know everyone's been abusing him and harassing him about since he started the show. So Matt's right here next to me.
Yeah. That's right, you chumps. You're going to have to shut the hell up. I'm coming in crystal clear, radio sound. No more, hey, are you in a bathroom? Nice tin can and string. Fuck off. I'm right here in the studio with Brendan. Although, we're the only ones here and we started recording. I don't know where everyone else is.
I'm sorry. This is Will here. I'm calling in for this show. I had to leave the city. I'm up at the Menninger Estate in my family's compound. I'll be there for the next several months to administer the estate sale of my father's collection of snow globes and winter sleds, as well as all of my grandfather's, all the transcripts of his recorded conversations with Soviet diplomats and CPUSA members that he shared with certain federal agencies. So
God
I'll be away for the next couple of months.
Well, that's a bummer, but that's okay, I guess. But where the hell's Felix?
Hey, Matt. Matt, you just had a big move. You just changed your whole life. Another one of us did, too. I'm calling you live from South Lebanon, dude. I finally fucking did it. I joined Hezbollah. I'm here. I was right all along. I knew I would be a perfect fit. Have you ever fucking seen the movie The Perks of Being a Wallflower? You know at the point where he's like the moment of pure energy? I felt like it was pure energy because I fucked a girl with a short haircut. That's how I feel. That's how I feel. They're all telling the truth about Syria. They're into the focal mission. I'm home. I'm never leaving. I'm still going to call into the show. I want to be paid more.
God damn it.
I didn't hear any of that. Is Felix in Philadelphia this week?
God damn it.
Hey, Matt, can you hear me?
Yeah, Virgil. Where the hell are you?
Oh, hey, Matt. I'm in the hospital. I was hospitalized for acute carpal tunnel syndrome because I game too hard. Yeah, the doctor said I'm the highest on rank mode they've ever seen.
God damn it, no.
Yeah, I'll be laid up for a while.
No.
Virgil's wanking?
Is that
this is a disaster.
I thought I heard somebody say De La Zor. Okay, the Syrian Army is a momentous victory.
Oh, yeah, my so, God.
Can I talk right now?
I'm
working on a new job.
I'm trying to host. Wait, it's a nightmare. God damn it. Wait a minute. Where'd Brendan go?
Matt. Can you not hear me?
Wait, where are you? Where'd you go?
I don't know. I seem to have entered some other realm, some kind of pure audio realm. I've been such a good producer that I've become sound.
Is there a delay?
Am I delayed right now?
It's not fair. It's not fair. No, there was time now. There was audio quality.
Hello, friends. It's your Chapo coming just a little bit late, but hopefully you pigs will not be too angry. Yesterday was Labor Day. We tried to labor for you, but it just didn't work out. So we're coming a day later, but we're still coming with that Chapo fire. This is sort of a special occasion, as we alluded to earlier. Matt is now officially walking here.
That's right. You call this friggin' pizza? Hey, forget about it.
He's in Kings County. He's live. He's sitting in the room with us. Also, a little bit of show notes, a little house cleaning here. For those of you who are hoping for more Amber, she's in Iceland right now. So you're going to have to wait just a little bit longer. I know all the Amber heads out there, all the Frost fam, has been saying, where's Amber? Amber has been very busy traveling, working, being sick, and is now in Iceland. So she will be back shortly. You will get Amber soon. Just not on this episode.
If you ever ask us for anything again, we will never give it to you. Well, you'll have no one on the fucking show, and you'll like it.
Yes, this episode is going to be particularly bad to punish you all.
On that note, sitting in for this episode is friend of the show, Alex Nichols, a.k.a. Lowen Option. Alex, how's it going?
Greetings.
So, yeah, what was the... Was there any other show business I had to take care of, knockout at the top of the app?
I think that's good palaver that we've done.
Okay.
That's an appropriate amount.
Congratulations to Syria on their World Cup quarterfinal win.
All right.
In soccer.
Their use of sarin was really bold and revolutionary.
That's never been proved.
Oh, I forgot this is the other bit of this is why it's another sort of special show. Is it marks the debut of our guest producer, Meg. Meg, say hello.
Hello.
Meg is sitting in, recording the app for us today. I know where I want to begin. We're gonna be talking news and politics, taking a sideways glance at the headlines. But before we do, I wanted to check in with Virgil, who did some shoe leather reporting this weekend from the Renaissance Fair.
Yes. Imagine taking a bus trip, not to another place, but to another time. The 13th century, indeed. I went to upstate New York to the Ren Fair. It happens every weekend there. It was a rainy, muddy...
Happens every weekend?
Happens every weekend there. Yeah, this is a static Renaissance Fair. It was a rainy, muddy day. I had to accomplish approximately 10 bodily functions when I walked in. But I somehow managed to accomplish them all. I got a turkey leg, and it was actually fairly good. I used the King's Privy, and it was very clean.
Yeah, and that was the thing. You showed me the picture of the toilet. That was not a period-accurate toilet. This is a bullshit Ren Fair right off the gate.
It was not period. There were porta-potties. That was probably the closest thing to it.
Bosh!
People who aren't familiar with sort of like American trade history, after NAFTA had famously deindustrialized New York's upstate, famous industrial zone, but there was a provision in there to replace all the factories with weekend, every weekend Ren fairs.
And apple picking.
Apple picking, Ren fairs, and Fent factories.
This was very Rust Belt Ren Fair. To give you an idea of what it's like to be there, every stall is trying to sell you something that's overpriced garbage. And people in like very shitty, like fourth tier Game of Thrones cosplay costumes are constantly yelling at you. Blair told me that this is what it's like to be a woman. People, idiots just yell insulting things to you right to your face. They make eye contact. And I'm not used to that at all.
You should have done like a catcalling video where it's just you trying to walk to a bathroom and you're being followed by comic book store owners who are catcalling you to try to make you buy beads.
A man who was dressed like a warlock questioned my masculinity. It was very, very rude.
I would have fucking beat his ass, dude.
You would have hated this, Felix, because there's exactly two kinds of people who are not the patrons of the affair, but people who work there or, I guess, hang out there for some fucking reason. On the younger end, it's Whovians, Homestuck aficionados.
Oh, no.
A lot of people wearing elf ears. They've all written call-outs of you on Tumblr. and on the older end, it's Identity Europa people, old school white nationalists. We saw the most period accurate thing, which is to say not a stand selling you $8 Coors Lights. It was a recreation of a Viking settlement, and they were ostensibly using the technology that the Vikings would have had. And this very, very soft-spoken man explained a little bit about Viking history, how they did their battles, the Varangian Guard. And
they didn't actually have horns on their helmets.
That's true. He did say that. And all I could think in the back of my head was, I really hope that this sweet, pleasant old man is not a gigantic Nazi. Because I can't imagine what the Viking recreation community is like if it... Like doesn't attract like straight up.
Yeah,
just like,
yeah, they're all big Vargs fans.
Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty clear.
The only two types of people that attracts are like, yeah, A, Nazis, and B, and this is reflected in another like obscure federal law. A Renaissance Fair is the only place where you don't have to inform new neighbors that you're a sex offender.
It's true. This was also a steampunk day, so some individuals were dressed as steampunk.
Disgusting to me.
One gentleman was dressed like a vault dweller from Fallout. One gentleman was dressed like someone pointed this out to me. I thought he was Jonah Goldberg, but he was apparently dressed like Doctor Who.
Wait a minute. When does Fallout take place?
It's the future.
Doctor Who.
That's not steampunk.
I suppose.
Steampunk is an alternative Victorian era.
Steampunk never took place.
Doctor Who would have been rightfully executed for witchcraft in the Middle Ages.
Did you buy any pewter?
Did I buy any what?
Pewter.
What the hell is pewter?
You went to a fucking Red Fair and you don't know what pewter is?
Oh, it's short for computer.
Pewter, it's like the shitty, like, metal-looking
tankards.
Stuff. Yeah, for tankards and, like, little dragons and stuff like
this
that.
This was not an educational affair.
Because I only went to one Red Fair and it was dog shit. And there was a joust, though, and that was kind of cool. Mm. Although the guys had, like, they'd made their armor out of, like, pie plates or something. It was bad. But the real Ren Fair moment in my life is I went to a county fair, and I bought a little pewter dragon. I took it home, and I tried to wrap a metal chain around its neck to turn it into a necklace.
I feel like you buried the lead in this one. What the fuck? Were you like opening for MF Doom at this time?
It didn't work. I tried to tie it around his neck, but it wouldn't secure, so I wasn't able to wear it.
The wares were crystals, dragon figurines, the armorsmith sold like shitty Etsy jewelry, and let me think here. Oh, there was a witch cooking stall, but it just sold olive oil. That was frankly just okay.
It is true. Iberians are kind of witches.
And the highlight of it was getting drunk, of course. We went on a rather expensive pub crawl where you and 28 of your fellow Whovians are led by a gaggle of five individuals whose primary skills are just yelling. And they're constantly yelling at you to tell jokes and amuse you in some fashion. And to their credit, they were fairly amusing. But again, this is all like improv people.
Oh, God.
But like not good improv people. I can't express that anymore.
Well, I mean, you've already said improv people.
Look at E. Commoner. He's guffawing.
No, that's...
Because he forsooth, he knows.
Imagine... What art that, those?
Imagine if improv people did street harassment. Well, okay. I'm repeating myself.
Cool. We don't have to imagine.
Blair and Callie got mad as we got drunker on the pub crawl because everyone was telling jokes, and they're all like terrible jokes, you know, along the lines of, what's brown and sticky? A stick, you know. But some of them were... Some of them were...
There weren't any of them, like, they weren't at the expense of, like, extinct ethnic groups from Middle Ages, like Frisians and
Swabian
jokes?
There was some good Italian material.
Okay, good.
But
okay.
They objected to all the rape jokes that people kept telling. To give you an example, and of course I would never tell a joke like this, but I mean, this is just an example, so please don't take this out of context. What's the difference between and again, this is not me saying it. This is an old gentleman who looked like a grungy Ben Franklin saying this. What's the difference between a woman and a washing machine?
I think I know this joke.
Now, I will deliver this punchline, but again, this is not me saying this. This is the product of a sick individual and a sick mind produced by a sick society, frankly.
And by that, you mean medieval Europe?
After NAFTA, they're built by Mexicans.
By the way, a laundry machine, also not period accurate. This is bullshit.
Yes, I know. You would have been infuriated.
This sounds awful. A bunch of people doing terrible eye contact improv and being historically inaccurate.
The punchline was a laundry machine doesn't follow you around the dorms for a week after you put a load in it.
Yeah, that's a 30 Rock joke.
Okay.
Liz Lemon did that in like season one.
Okay, well,
NBC
Liz
sitcoms.
Liz Lemon is toxic masculinity.
Okay.
So I saw a falcon and I got in one of those paddle boats where you paddle and there was a lake and it was very nice.
Seeing a falcon is cool.
Yeah, seeing the falcon was great.
Seeing the falcon is better.
That's Saudi cultural appropriation.
All right, well, I don't want to let too much time go on with the Ren Faire report. Thank you, Virgil, for the for letting us know what life was like centuries ago.
Back to you, Will.
Yeah, I don't want to let things slide too far. We have Alex joining us, and there are some things to talk about. Gonna let you down right off the bat. We're not going to be on this episode, at least. We're not going to be talking about the DACA repeal or the terrifying escalation of nuclear crisis in the Korean Peninsula.
Yeah, finally, Trump's doing something we like.
Yeah.
DACA, by the way, that's Japanese for idiot.
It's BACA.
Oh. Always get those two mixed
up. We are going to be talking about at least one of those things, but just not today because neither of them are.
Felix, do better. It's short for Neil Sedaka. It's getting deported.
It's just neither of those topics are very funny, and I don't really have anything prepared to discuss, but we will address them in a future episode. What we are going to be talking about, and I want to jump right into in this show, is something that is very funny, and I know everyone's been talking about
it. Maybe the funniest thing.
It may be one of the funniest things that has happened this year, in a year full of hilarious.
Myanmar, 3,000 beheadings.
No, of course I'm referring about the new...
Kofifi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The new
Kofifi tweet. It's time to address it once again.
Sorry about the new Peter Dow-backed media venture, Verit.
Hell yeah.
Now, I was blissfully not extremely online this weekend, and I this was just in my periphery, and when I was trying to figure out what it was and just only getting glimpses of it, I was like, this can't be real. This is something we, again, invented on the show as a joke, but it's very real.
Well, what's so insane about it was that when it started burbling up, oh, Verit, what are these codes? You literally couldn't find out because the fucking site crashed. And I don't think it's up yet. I don't think anyone's actually been able to get on it.
Can one of you guys actually just explain what Verit is?
It's a hip-hop operating system. Verit is basically like blockchain for memes, but not actual memes, just like image cards that are like, alternative facts are fake news, and it's a quote from fucking Amy Klobuchar.
Yeah,
it's just Juicero for losing elections.
To give you some idea of who Peter Dow is, he went on to be, and this is true, a minor soft jazz musician.
And club music.
Club music, yeah. But it was shittier club music.
Oh, you want to know something creepy?
He made sex jams with his sister.
It was his wife. I mean, not mutually exclusive.
I'm not exaggerating at all. No, but I have an article coming out about this.
There was a band called The Dow, and their biggest song was Lose Yourself. And if you look at The Dow's album cover, there's a little cross symbol, and it's the Maronite cross. The Maronite cross of Lebanon.
I need to look up. You go ahead. I want to look up Lose Yourself by The Dow.
Oh, yeah. We'll
it's
definitely.
Surrender Yourself by The Dow, by the way.
Yeah, you're fucking Eminem once again destroying yeah. Felix's
you
brain.
You got to lose yourself in Sabra Shatila.
Sabra Shatila.
So after The Dow fell apart, he pivoted to politics somehow.
Mom's tahini.
And he's somehow managed to attach himself to the Clinton machine, but as some minor outlying figure who just kind of puffs up his own importance.
Well, one of the big Verit news is that Hillary Clinton herself emerged from her, eternal slumber, even in strange eons, even death may die. But she said, I'm joining Verit because this is what we need. And the tagline for Verit was social media for the 65.8 million. The idea is that all the people who voted for Hillary Clinton in the general election have been erased by the media, harassed, bullied. Many of them are claiming to have PTSD.
Yes.
And that they need... there's so much
space.
Fake news out there. There's so much Russian bots that they need some sort of meme and news authenticator system so that they don't get fooled, which is it's weird because it seems like this is the most neurotic thing ever created.
Well, yeah, that's it. It's basically people giving themselves computer insanity and thinking that more computer is going to solve it. It's no, that's not going to work.
I can't wait till 2020 when Hillary, who has to be injected with adrenaline every 30 minutes to keep from dying, is just shouting out Verit codes in the middle of the debate while Trump is talking about how he knew Charles Martel.
I still don't,
Verit is trying to cure mercury poisoning by drinking a thermometer.
Verit doesn't actually do anything. And that's the most aggravating thing. All of these people, all these Hillary supporters who love Verit are saying, thank you so much, Peter, for making a safe space for me. And it's this isn't a social network. There is a comment section. Did you just want a comment section?
You want a comment section.
Because I could have made you a BBS. I could have.
But the thing is, the hook, we're burying the lead here, because the hook is the codes,
the authentication codes,
which means that if you can have that, if you see a claim on the internet, you can authenticate it by seeing if it has a Verit authentication code, which means that it is authorized and certified true.
This is just like Snopes, though.
Yeah, but they don't have codes.
They don't
have codes. Where are your codes, bitch?
On Snopes, if you enter in a false fact, Do you get a former club musician who comes to your house and explains to you why you're wrong?
Here's the difference between it and Smopes. If you put the Konami code in Verit, you get Hillary feet pics.
but here's the thing. Like,
by the way, I do have the high score on the Verit leaderboard
This is, you know, like so many things, this is exactly like the Matrix. Like, after Hillary, like, woke up in a pile of discarded Playboy magazines and Mad Dog bottles in the woods of Westchester, she was like, I may not be David Carradine, but I know Kung Fu.
I thought you were going to go, I may not be David Carradine, but I choked.
I've already done a million of those. Yeah, you know, come right. on.
Hello, Felix. Your news is fake.
Yeah. I may not be network, but I'm mad as hell. I'm going to start a new website.
But here's the thing. All I've seen are just these sort of like image macros that are just other people's tweets.
Yes.
It's like Joy and Reed quotes. And Peter Dow saying things that aren't really facts.
Yeah.
Like fact. Hillary is the most attacked woman in American history. She is like her supporters are silenced and attacked. Like these are not facts in the pure sense of the word.
Apparently there are some. Apparently it's sort of like Snapple cap bottle fact type things, like just totally decontextualized, like, oh, the human brain weighs 12 pounds things. But then that's in there with these like just opinion quotes from assholes like Joanne Reed and Peter Dow.
And John Bedoritz. Fucking John Bedoritz has quotes on there.
So it's
welcome to the resistance.
The pitch of it is the exact same grievance politics that animates so much of this right wing bullshit that's emerged, like Gab and the fucking ripoffs of GoFundMe
What's the new YouTube?
Patreon?
Yeah, new YouTube.
YouTube.
Like all of this garbage and every single the hucksters in the right movement, their whole pitch is, you know, you're oppressed by big Twitter and big YouTube, so come on over, this is for us, and give us your money. This is just the exact left mirror image of that.
Not left.
It's for people who's... If your YouTube video is about phrenology and Nordic skull shapes was demonetized, then Pew is for you.
Yeah.
If you're convinced that everyone who talks to you online is a Russian agent, brother Verit is...
Really, John Podoritz wants to join it because it's like, hey, I'm also a piece of shit that gets made fun of by everyone.
Yeah, that way he literally...
But there's no way to join it, though. That's the problem.
There's a comment section. That's it. It's a comment section. The beard nerd is already there.
I just want to see somebody like trying to reference Verit ID codes in an actual real life argument.
Yeah.
Like with their like chud like relative or something. It's like, oh, I'll tell you about Obama and those FEMA camps. It's like, excuse me, Verit code 27734. I have it written on my hand just for this occasion. Like it's gonna matter
to
somebody.
Antifa to put down the sticks and pick up the codes.
But you know what it is? It's like this is the apotheosis of the liberal trajectory. And it started, remember in the West Wing where half the dialogue was assholes just saying statistics to each other?
Yes.
Yeah. Just like reciting numbers to one another that they each knew, but saying them for the benefit of the audience. It's like language has failed liberals because language is, you know, it's varied and it doesn't have fixed meanings and there's connotations and stuff. And it's also, language is how you communicate things like moral vision and tell narratives, which liberalism has completely failed at doing. It can't do that. So language has completely failed liberals, leaving them only with these bare facts that they're like just grabbing onto and trying not to, you know, sink into the ocean. Well, it's like fucking chunks of the Titanic that they're just holding on to in the bobbing around in the North Atlantic. And the end of all of it is losing all language and just walking around, just saying numbers to one another. It's going to be like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. You're just going to walk down the street and there's going to be a guy in a nasty woman shirt with a fucking kafifi mug going 7-3-2-4-7-5-8-6-8-3-4-7-2-4-7-5-6.
Peter said that his ambition is to preserve facts for future generations.
I've been catching a lot of fire from my new hashtag fact genocide. Have you noticed that like that's the new thing that all the libs sound like Ben Shapiro now?
Yes.
Like their entire thing now is like, well, facts don't care about your fake news. Facts and truth will win the day. And it's like 5 years ago, if someone talked like that, you were
they
like,
were a fucking
they were like, oh, you like got kicked out of the fucking Maricopa County Republican Party for age of consent canvassing. But now it means that you're like a chair of the DNC. It's the most fucked up thing.
And well, it just shows that it's because it's the same. You could say it for either side and it would have the same valence. It means that that's not a persuasive. That's not how politics works, is reciting facts.
What I find
has nothing to do with it.
What I find puzzling about the whole venture is, well, A, how it actually works or what the fuck.
Well, I don't think anyone knows, honestly.
It just doesn't. It has.
It's like the idea is like you see like an image macro online and it's like Abraham Lincoln. It's like the photo of Abraham Lincoln. Then it's like the white on black background text saying like, when I see that ass, I know what I'm doing. And then it's just like meme authenticator code. And then like you plug it into Verit and then it's like, that is not a real Abraham Lincoln quote. But here's what I'm wondering.
It sort of reminds me of those like early Game Boy accessories that were just aggressively pointless, like the ones where you would scan like a QR code or a barcode on a card, and then it would give you a an item in the game.
Or like that.
Why do I
mice.
Need to scan the card?
Or the cat. Remember the cat?
Grumpy cat?
It was no. it was a device that was supposed to complement your mouse, and it was shaped like a cat.
Whoa.
And if you were reading a magazine that sold items, and there was a code on it, you ran the cat over it.
Okay.
And it basically made an order on your computer.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That was like Web 1.0
shit. Yeah, that's Web 1.0 shit.
This is harder than that because you have to physically type it in.
Yeah, Trump supporter people, especially not Trump supporters, people don't read past the first three words of any given headline. How do you expect anyone who's an actual human being to use this system?
Yeah, the entire
anything?
Internet now, the entire internet, my entire timeline is just like the slate headlines that are like, what if the dying of old age is cool?
Your vacation is killing you.
It's just different people of different parts of the ideological spectrum yelling at each other about headlines.
Yes, that's all discourses.
Yeah, I mean, because they're all broken people with no moral education who have never done anything hard. So the only satisfaction they can achieve is racking up favorites for screaming at headlines. So, like, you're not gonna get people who basically do cocaine, that's the brain equivalent of doing cocaine, to eat oatmeal every day, which is punching in a code to find out true facts stated.
Well, no, I was gonna say, like, what's puzzling to me outside just the very concept of it is that it seems to me like this is all pitched at like as Peter Dow said, this is the you know, the website or media for the 65 million, the majority who voted for Hillary Clinton, and these are the people who have, you know, ever since the election, been sort of congratulating themselves and shaming others for, you know, not doing the right thing and voting for Hillary Clinton and attacking all the fake news. It's like these are people who like envision themselves as being savvy political minds and news consumers, but it's like they're completely gaslit themselves. So like they don't, now they need a weird meme authenticator so that they can distinguish what is real news or not. I thought like the whole pitch was that they already knew what was fake news and what was not.
But they went from feeling absolutely secure in the mainstream of American politics and culture, feeling like they represented the mainstream American opinions and cultural views. They were right there. They were with it. And then instantaneously, as soon as Trump won, they were thrown out of that position. And now they're radically alienated from everything that they thought they understood. And that has basically broken them. And so now they're trying to recreate some semblance of like an way to understand the world out of these just like brittle little sticks of fact to make a little hut on the shipwrecked island that they live on.
It's not just that. It's they want to rebuild norms that were soundly rejected that no one gave a shit about last
absolutely,
year.
Absolutely, yes.
Like if you remember the entire DNC in 2016, it was like a cop rock but with the CIA. It was every evil piece of shit you've seen from the last 20 years. Everyone who's like in a Bush torture memo was like dabbing up there. It was the most fucked up thing because Democrats were finally like, oh, we're going to be the party that's patriotic. And we're with the national security apparatus, like fully, openly. We're running on that. We're running on how we love cops. We're running on how we love the entire, you know, this panel of foreign policy experts who condemn Trump. And then it turned out no one gave a shit, which anyone could have told you, like, because Trump's entire primary victory was just doing things that people said you couldn't do and getting away with it. And instead of realizing that instead of offering people like a material reason to vote, they just trotted out everyone who's ever written an op-ed about in U.S. News and World Report about how we need to nuke Oman for some reason, that doesn't work. They just so badly wish that was their world. In the same way that the Democrats wish that their moderate GOP showed out so they could just run on nothing and do nothing and owe nothing to anyone. Yeah. They want the fake world that they almost built for themselves back.
Yes.
Which is why I think their claims of experiencing PTSD are perhaps not totally off the mark, just ludicrously offensive to other people. But
Podesta disappointment syndrome.
I have a pseudo reading series here. This is like an article about Verrett that was published in the Independent Journal Review. So, you know, it's a mark of quality.
It's got that Benny Johnson stank on
it. Yeah. This is Benny Johnson's company. It's by this guy, Tommy Christopher. Alex, do you know who Tommy Christopher is?
Yeah, he's the hat man.
He's the hat man.
Folks, if you're not familiar with Tommy Christopher, just plug that into Google Image Search and just check out that hat picture, that sweet hat.
So this is
Tommy,
weird.
Can I get a hat wobble?
As we've mentioned,
love Trump's hat.
IJR is like the IJR is the outlet that's so bad that it won't even fire Benny Johnson.
Yes, it's the one place that he's been able to stay securely employed at for more than a year.
The sort of like Hillary resistance people have found sort of a friendly outlet in them because they're gullible. They published that piece by Sally Albright that was like the 100 resistance accounts you must follow. That was just, I'm sure if you're listening to this show, it's just a list of 100 people who have blocked you or driven you insane.
It's basically like one of those issues of Batman that's just people in Arkham Asylum.
She was in it, too. She put herself in it.
IJR is a right-wing media company. It's like the Daily Caller without tits, and it is trying to pivot, you know, to be like real news in the center.
They're putting the Independent
moderate.
Back in Independent
so
Journal Review.
So they're fishing for like the most gullible, you know, credulous, stupid members of the hashtag resistance to write for their site.
And they found the hat man. So I want to read here. This is his, like, just basically PR release for Verrett. And he begins here. He says, "The past 8 months of Donald Trump's presidency have been chaotic misery for nearly everyone. But adding to that misery has been the constant media obsession with the small white minority who voted for Trump and whose brains have been picked daily since then. Every day last week, the cable news networks ran clips from a focus group of grumbly Trump voters, a sure sign that the trend is not slowing." So right off the bat, we see Tommy, the hat man here, is annoyed that not enough media outlets have been picking his brain after the election.
Yeah, where's my
about why
where's
he
my
voted
interview?
For Hillary Clinton and why that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So he says, "With less intensity, the media has also shown a lot of interest in people who voted third party and the disaffected minority of, quote, Democrats who worship Bernie Sanders. Even the Democrats have embraced Sanders' message of Democrats suck."
Well, yeah. I mean, how do you draw any other conclusion from the 2016
election?
This article
would be good evidence of that. But he says, "The news itself has been catering to people who stood by and helped Trump get elected, either by casting votes for him or by failing to support his opponent."
Most Sanders supporters voted for Hillary Clinton in the general.
Way more than Hillary voters voted for John McCain. But
we've mentioned this before. One of the big people on that resistance thing who was just profiled in Politico's like top 50 thinkers was Amy Siskind, a woman who explicitly said vote for John McCain because he had
a woman on the ticket. That happened. So that's the thing that happened. That's a fucking fact. Where's its verification code, though?
So it says, "The news has been catering because they're still not showing the true facts of Trump's disastrous presidency. They're still slagging Hillary Clinton. The rest of the time, they're leaping at any chance to declare a Trump pivot." I mean, that's kind of true. Yeah, I mean, we know
that's,
like...
Oh, yeah. That's what the media does. It tries to normalize the situation. That's why you saw that awful pivot from freaking out about the Nazis at Charlottesville to everyone simultaneously deciding that Antifa is just as bad, because you have to have find the level of equality for any narrative.
Yeah, so, and their favorite thing to do is just to find any Trump voter whose like arm is currently stuck in the dishwasher or like a disposal drain, and be like, "Do you still like Trump?" And they're like, "Yeah."
Well, that's the thing.
It's 70 articles.
They're mad about that, but that impulse to keep talking to these Trump voters and seeing if they've changed their mind, that's not them trying to like kiss up to Trump or Trump voters. That is their sad liberal heart with the hope that, okay, this has got to do it, right? These people have to turn on him. Now, it's not just, their politics aren't just pure resentment, and they don't give a shit what Trump does. this is a situation where this asshole could, like, you know, execute Chuck Schumer in front of Congress, and they would down with it. No,
I'd be down with it.
They have to have some sort of, obviously, they have to have some sort of limit. And it's like, no, you idiot, that's not how politics works. It's negative polarization. It's hatred of the other. Trump
those
makes
pieces
liberals
are
mad.
Good, I like
therefore,
those.
They will like him until he personally murders their family. And that is a liberal impulse to say, no, let's check on him now. Maybe they change their mind.
Well, they also think Trump will. Alex, why do you like those pieces?
It's funny to gawk at those people, sort of like the people Michael Hudson gets from Facebook. Just the most dire specimens of humanity who are just too stupid to live. Just fun to gawk at them.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. Well, the impulse, I think, is to think that Trump voters are basically like dogs. And if they see another dog on the television, they'll go, that's me. That's another dog.
Basically.
So, Hatman continues here. He says, if you've ever wondered what a Hillary Clinton voter thought these past months, your options were pretty much Joy Reid. That is, until Sunday, when my old boss and longtime Hillary Clinton advisor, Peter Dow, launched Verit.
My Führer, I can post!
A media company with an ironclad pitch that got an immediate boost from Hillary Clinton herself. Okay, a couple things there. We just have been their ironclad pitch that nobody can explain.
Their elevator pitch of, well, okay, it's a website with facts, but there's a code.
Yeah.
And you have to enter the code to get the facts. Where do you get the code? Hold on a minute.
When he says, Tony Montana said, first you get the code, then you get the facts, then you win the argument.
Also, he said, longtime Hillary Clinton advisor, Peter Dow. And it's so funny that he's still so firmly in that orbit, because we know from all those leaked emails that they like all make fun of him behind his back.
They think
he's a laughable figure.
Oh no, he's a total nut. He's basically like Charles Guiteau, the guy who shot Garfield after he didn't get a job.
Yes, he is.
Because he convinced himself that his work for the campaign had basically elected Garfield, and then when he didn't get a job, he shot him. Nice. That makes me think that Hillary should like thank her lucky star she didn't win, because he might have like parachuted from a rooftop with an Uzi to fucking kill her if she had one, without making him like, you know, chief of staff or something.
Yeah, when
that was actually Odie who shot Garfield.
when she made that tweet promoting Verit, she did it with a fucking laser sight on her.
So he goes, a media platform for the 65.8 million is what we in the biz call a dynamite pitch.
Oh,
what
you.
What biz is he in?
DJ, run that back.
I thought he was a haberdasher.
A media platform.
That's banking on venture capitalists not understanding what 65 million means. They're just going to read it really quickly in just a big binder of whatever they're throwing money at and say, oh, they have a built-in audience of 65 million. Sounds great.
I mean,
and meanwhile, they have like 8,000 Twitter followers.
I mean, I guess he's like in the biz in the same way that like Rupert Pupkin was in the entertainment business.
Well, the good thing is that they don't need too much venture capital, because John Podesta has been selling pizzas like hotcakes to fund it.
I just like to note that in the space of two sentences, Tommy Christopher has called the media company has an ironclad pitch and a dynamite pitch. And he goes, there hasn't been a larger, hungrier audience than that since the MASH finale.
What the fuck?
That's a reference. That's
reference.
The people haven't been this hungry for the facts since Jack Benny.
No, but that's so perfect though. The MASH finale is famously the most viewed television show of all time.
That's false.
But that's because there were three channels.
Right.
That is an artifact of a different era in media. He is a dinosaur. He's literally speaking to a media landscape that he does not understand.
It was that record, but it's been beaten by like a dozen Super Bowls since
then.
They
don't count. It's still the most TV show.
Scripted television. Yeah.
Sports don't count.
Qualification. But like, this sort of like reminds me, like why like all the Russian like the hacking story continues to have such valence for these people, even though there's like there's it's always just very ethereal. There's nothing ever, there's no real news that's been happening here. And like actually Nick mentioned this on a recent Cometown, and I thought it was a really good point, is that like this all works so well because all of these people are like middle-aged to old liberals who like don't understand computers. They're just all like your grandparents or parents who just think like you say hacking and it's just like that's the magic word, right, for them. They think hacking can do anything.
Yeah, it's, if they went into the Electoral College database and turned into Trump.
Yeah. Or they just think like anything that happens on their computer, they're like, oh, I can't get into my email. I think I've been hacked.
I had an older family friend who got a new computer, and she took her old desktop computer, and she was so worried about having her identity stolen from the hard drive somehow that she burned the computer in a bonfire and presumably inhaled like the kind of chemicals that third world children in e-waste dumps inhale. And that's the resistance.
My grandmother, she was reading Slate as a 97-year-old will do, and came across an article about like honking off, and she shared it on Facebook. And my brother like fucking called her on the phone about it. Like, you know, did you mean to do that? And she was like, oh, I was trying to like it. And shared it. And that's Verit. That's the resistance.
No, but like the way that all these people now, like I said, they've gaslit themselves to think that everybody who interacts with them on Twitter or makes fun of them is part of a conspiracy, is a Russian bot or a paid Russian agent. Dude, fucking Eric Garland wouldn't even take our money on his Patreon page because he thinks that we're FSB.
Eric Garland got into an argument with a dude who is Canadian and tagged the RCMP into it. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah. No, that was true. He's like, oh, wow, classic bot tactics. Isn't that right, RCMP?
He got in an argument with Sam Chris and tagged the Buckingham Palace Guards.
But just to close out, on the Verit homepage, Dow introduced the concept. And this is Dow speaking. Hillary Clinton faced relentless vilification, imbalanced media coverage, and foreign propaganda, yet still attracted
more, she was running for president.
More votes than any other presidential candidate in history except Barack Obama in 2008. That's another bullshit.
Exactly. That's 8 years ago.
That's another bullshit fact, because there are more people in America. Like,
every election really should break the record for most.
Do you realize that Hillary Clinton got 700,000 times more votes than George Washington?
And I also like about this, or like when they say like Hillary Clinton faced an unprecedented campaign of vilification and negative ads, it's just like, shouldn't you have been prepared for this when you're running a presidential election?
They also spent $1 billion on negative ads against their opponent.
Right.
Alex said something really smart once, which is that Hillary Clinton is the ultimate millennial because she's constantly lauded for doing something she sucks at and failing anyway. And I think that's when I see stuff like this, like Hillary didn't kill herself even though people were mean to her. And it goes hand in hand with like the Hillary warned us stuff, like how Hillary will cut to some clip of Hillary in June of last year being like, Donald Trump will be a bad president. And it's like, you know, on the surface, you're like, well, of course, she was running for president. What do you think she was going to say? At the end of the day, Donald Trump's going to be good and he's not racist. But it's like, everyone who's ever run for president has said that their opponent will be like a disaster in office, blah, 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 blah. But because Hillary did it and it didn't work, they're like, this is just like every time they've ever doubted a woman.
So he goes, this is Dow speaking again here. With the essence of American democracy at stake, 65.8 million people saw through the lies and smears and made a wise patriotic choice. But they continue to be marginalized and harassed.
What percentage of those people, including, all right, how many people listening to this right now voted for Hillary? out of just a queasy sense of that's what they had to do because of the alternative, and have absolutely no affection for her or the insane cult that is around her. I'm going to guess a huge chunk.
Yeah, Merritt's purpose,
perhaps half,
is to become their trusted source of political information and analysis, to provide them and anyone like-minded sanctuary in a chaotic media environment, to center their shared principles, and to do so with an unwavering commitment to truth and facts. I said this yesterday. Verrett, I think I've actually finally figured it out. Verrett is true facts stated, but as a business model, not an asinine Twitter handle.
It is a staggering lack of judgment on Hillary's part to promote this company that has absolutely no business plan, no product, no backing behind it, and is run by a guy who is constantly just making Twitter threads about the trolls.
Who is like that TV writer asshole who is just like complaining that like, oh, why didn't you go to Wisconsin and campaign for Hillary?
Why is it always TV writers? What the fuck?
That guy ruled, especially considering the fact that truckloads of volunteers literally were told to turn around as they were going towards Michigan because the algorithms told Robbie Mook that they didn't need to bother.
Oh, my God.
So they literally was something stopping you.
So I mean,
that the Clinton campaign would have hindered your efforts.
Can we listen to the down?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to close this out.
Time to relax,
all right, let's relax. This is... this is the Tao. Surrender yourself. This
feels like a shot of morphine in the arm.
This is the 90th fucking sounding thing I've ever heard in my life.
You're not even seeing the video, Matt.
This is pure 90s.
You gotta
this
see
is what Twin Peaks looks like.
Sorry, this is exactly what it
looks
like.
Oh my god, it totally is. It's that whole like REM, losing my religion, fucking crash test dummies, like in front of, like on a stage with close ups of like body parts.
That's enough of the Tao for now. I think that's actually a good segue. We're talking about one of Alex's articles and we're listening to YouTube clips, because now I think I'd like to transition into talking about an article Alex wrote the other week that I loved about the strange, much off misunderstood genre of conservative rap music.
Oh hell yeah!
Oh god,
Alex, like, how would you like to introduce this? Like, how did you like? Because the weird thing that I like when you finally put this together, the thing that I realized is they love rapping and they do it quite often. How like
they do? There's a lot of psychology behind it. It's very psychological. It's sort of like Get Out, where they hate and fear black people, but they also want to be them at the same time.
Yeah.
It's also sort of a way, it's sort of like blackface, sort of like a minstrel show. It's a way to mock black art forms and say we can do it just as well as you, and they really can't.
Yeah, I mean, you say it like that. They always do it as like it's sort of a joke and like a way that they're like they're playing off how like incongruous it is for like a guy who went to Dartmouth wearing a suit to be like, I'm from the streets, y'all, and I'm here to say the capital gains tax is super gay. Like, but they really enjoy doing it too. Like they like sort of playing the dress up in this way and spitting rhymes, and like particularly among the younger ones. And actually, just to kick things off, the youngest cons of all, the first conservative rap song that you profile is the Young Con Anthem by the Young Cons. Could you just describe briefly the Young Cons for anyone who doesn't know?
The Young Cons were a duo of young Republicans at Dartmouth in 2009. They're prematurely balding. They're sort of emblematic of the original young conservative movement, and it's almost refreshing now to see guys who pretended to care about the deficit in the founding fathers and all that shit.
Their real name,
instead of like vandalizing Jewish cemeteries on Periscope.
their real names, it's a duo of guys named David Ruffle and Josh Riddle.
Those are like two villains from like the 60s Batman show.
Ruffle and Riddle, but they adopted rap names of Stilts and Sirius C.
Oh man, yeah. As Alex was saying, these are the guys from the. These are the guys who jerked off to the Laffer curb, not their 23andMe results.
So I just want to play.
They don't need rap names. The names are perfectly
Ruff
fine.
And Riddle would Ruff be a and better. Ruff and Riddle would yeah, be a
Ruff
better
Ride.
Rap duo.
Rough Riders. Yeah, they're the Rough Riders. Posse.
Ruffle and Riddle is like the names of rappers from the 80s who like rapped about meals. You know, rapped about being fat. It was the first fat acceptance media before anything.
So I'm just going to play a little bit.
Bitch, the rap album.
I'm going to play a little bit of the Young Con anthem right now, okay?
This is classic.
Yeah, this is a real banger.
Taxes are the subject, and I will spit them verbally. I'm just living life, a conservative philosophy. Sorry, Hillary, not a right-wing conspiracy. We need more women with intellectual integrity. I'm talking Megyn Kelly, not Nancy Pelosi. My main motto is your best work hard. It's not the hand you were given back and laid out in cars. I don't speak lies, but I spit the facts. 28% the new capital gains tax.
Oh my god. I'm sure they hate Megyn Kelly now, by the way.
A child's life
is not a choice. Come on, everybody. Let's use your voice.
And then, Alex, you helpfully provide with each one of these the worst couplet from each one. And for the Young Cons anthem, this one is, three things taught me conservative love. Jesus, Ronald Reagan, plus Atlas Shrugged.
Holy shit.
The Holy Trinity.
Okay, this next one I really like. This is
Ayn Rand.
This guy's Patriotic People by High Caliber. And this guy can kind of spit, and it's funny because unlike the Young Cons who look like, again, they're from Dartmouth and they look like they walked out of a J. Crew catalog, High Caliber really does look like a dirtbag.
Yeah, no,
Jersey.
He looks like he's from the streets. He's got some cred. He's like
a genuine Jersey scumbag.
Yeah.
Let me give the upworthy headline for this. Man writes conservative rap, and it has an awesome ending. Stay tuned.
Yeah, exactly. There is an awesome ending to this one, but you point out High Caliber was sort of like he got his demo in the hands of Freedom Works in 2009.
Yeah, he was sort of astroturfed by the Koch brothers.
Yeah,
and they rather unsuccessfully.
And they booked him for their taxpayer march on Washington, and they produced a music video for Patriotic People. So I'm gonna hold on a second.
Before we start, this explains so much about the Tea Party movement. Do you think that like half the people who showed up for those things, like they thought that when you're in any major American city and an annoying guy tries to make you buy his burned mixtape for $5, if that's taxes, like that was an Obama program?
So this is Patriotic People by High Caliber.
Charlie Sheen and these 9/11 truthers are losers. Please stop spreading all your lies and rumors. Cause liberalism is like a cancerous tumor. Just look at Harry Reid, Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. The population of the march was over 1 million. And I have a new hero. His name's Joe Wilson. People want to go against the word of God and live alternative. The media wants to crucify conservatives just because we live by a set of principles. To me, liberals are some sick individuals. They want to ban the Second Amendment. That's just criminal. God forgive me if I sound a little cynical. But how you gonna support killing a baby? And how you gonna ban prayer in the Navy?
Yeah. This was like the middle of 2009. Obama had been in office for like six months. What was their grief?
That the black guy was, I mean, it really does come down to that. Black guy was
taxed
president.
Enough already. Now,
by the way, that just shows you how fast this shit moves. Joe Wilson, the fucking asshole who yelled at the first State of the Union address, like nobody fucking cares about that guy. He's gonna get fucking primaried by some like guy like who built a fucking like tank out of his van. And lose his next election for not being conservative enough.
I think this is so perfect because, like, if you take a look at that guy, he's everyone on Facebook who has never been photographed without a beanie, who's all his posts are about fake people and people who have it out for him and everything. And, like, the hero of his song is Joe Wilson. But as Matt said, like Hitler said, who remembers the plight of Joe Wilson? This is the conservative movement now. Like, everyone who's in that song, everyone now who liked this song when it came out is like, Joe Wilson's a fucking cuck, amnesty piece of shit, fucking globalist. And it's like...
Or dead.
This guy, or dead. And this guy's entire output before this was about fake friends. And the conservative movement is now, they're the fakest friends in the world.
I would bet any amount of money that High Caliber has a tattoo that says "Only God can judge me" somewhere
100%, on him. 100,000%.
Before we get to the hilarious twist at the end of this, Alex rightly points out as soon as that the Coke faucet of money for the Tea Party was eventually turned off, and this guy went back to. I just wanted the worst couplet here before we get into the twist ending says. People want to go against the word of God and live alternative. The media wants to crucify conservatives.
What's okay. Live alternative?
Both true.
Live alternative means be gay, I think.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
not to be on the straight and narrow of just chewing Fent patches while screaming about how the subdivision next to you is filled with gay people.
Breaking up a fight between the mothers of your two children.
Yeah.
You said
living in a trailer with two women that hate you.
you close out by saying, despite a few puff pieces and one painfully awkward interview with RT, High Caliber made little impact on the Tea Party's public image, and the Coke faucet was turned off soon after. So what is the only rapper who supports the cops up to in 2017? Not much.
Excuse me, you ever heard of a little guy named Eli Lake?
Oh, and Baked Alaska?
We're going to get to Baked Alaska, but he says, what's he been up to in 2017? Not much. He's been in county jail since attempting to rob his local TD Bank in June.
Hell yeah, dude.
This is a real motherfucker.
This is from NewJersey.com.
Free High Caliber.
And it says, look at High Caliber. It says, a township man from Brick Township in New Jersey was arrested on Monday after he robbed a TD Bank branch, but was recognized by one of the tellers. Zachary Canance,
Snitch.
42, approached a teller at the Hooper Avenue Bank around 11:30 a.m. and stated, I need 5,000 G's strapped to go. Do not hit the alarm button and no one gets hurt. Just give me my 5,000 now.
He needed that 5,000 to pay the Obamacare tax.
The teller gave him cash from a drawer and he left the bank. He was recognized by another teller who was able to provide police a description.
Yo, that's High Caliber.
Yeah. Yo, you're the guy from the Coke Brothers.
That's the only rapper who supports the cops.
Yo, it's a patriotic people.
So when the cops arrested him and they were leading him into the car, did he go, thank you for your service?
Yeah.
Does anybody ever get away with robbing a bank? It seems like, you know,
no.
Modern
yeah,
prevention mechanisms.
You can.
No, they mark the money and they have security cameras.
You
can do it.
You should devise your
You
own.
Can do it. You can
devise a flawless bank job.
Yeah. I probably would.
If
actually.
You don't get greedy and you just go to the registers, you can rob a bank.
That was actually the cool part of that movie, Hell or High Water, as I figured that their bank robbing plan actually would work if you just took from the register.
What was the plan?
They would hit like a bunch of local bank branches, but only hit the registers for less than money that would get the feds involved. Anyway, a little bank robbing.
Or
we're robbing a fucking bank.
Inside man. Inside man, that's the future.
that was the most flawless bitch on the man.
Oh, you know why it's flawless now? Because Clive Owen's plan hinged on being a neat fail son. It hinged on him just being able to stay in a room for like a week straight.
Okay,
in a bottle.
We just got to go to our local bank branch that's owned by a Nazi collaborator who has a secret little P.O. box full of stolen diamonds.
I've got it. We will steal the lowest possible quantity. Pennies.
Oh,
and all of your pennies. No cop would get involved because they'd be like, what? They stole pennies? Who cares? They're pennies.
Oh,
but if you do it enough times at enough banks, that's some real money.
Oh, wait. I have an idea. Before we even fire a shot, we lock the doors and outside of the bank, we put a sign up that says, if you're a cop, you have to tell me.
Virgil, I like the penny idea, but here's the only problem. Storage and transport of all the pennies.
Oh, we just
melt them down.
Sell them for copper.
Then we're back to High Caliber.
Well, they do say that like there's more than a penny's worth of copper in a penny or something like that.
You're right.
Oh my God, that's
arbitrage.
Wait. If there's more copper in a penny than it's worth, then why don't we just go to the bank and exchange $20 bills for pennies and then take the pennies?
Oh my God.
And sell them. We would make infinite money.
Oh my God. Because the more money you make buys more money.
Yes, exactly.
This is an episode of Trailers. Fuck this Patreon shit.
Edit this out of the episode.
Cut this out.
We can't let anyone else know.
Oh my God. No more 3 hours of work for us.
This just turned into a Trailer Park Boys episode.
Okay. All right. We got to keep rolling along. Okay. This next one, the next conservative rap anthem, is easily the worst one. This one is stomach churning. This is Steven Crowder. This is a feature This is Steven Crowder featuring Chris Chris Loesch.
Chris Loesch.
The husband of Dana Loesch, the guy who's mainly known for having an incredibly obnoxious mustache and goatee.
He looks like an erotic magician.
The name of this song is Mr. America. And the video is that like Crowder and Loesch are dressed like the founding fathers, but they're like in the club. And they're like making.
Can you
it rich.
Imagine? I mean, really, if one of our founding fathers was in a nightclub setting with alcohol and bitches. Can you imagine?
Well, I was going to say this was the one excuse Steven Crowder had to wear a wig in which he wasn't just cross dressing to own the libs.
I wonder what the first draft of this video was like. What if George Washington sucked his friend's dick and they just never had to talk about it?
All right, let's listen to Mr. America. This is Crowder featuring Chris Loesch.
What is they, powdered zombies?
Like Jesus hating the fig tree as the spending goes up, you gotta borrow some more. Borrow went from the Chinese like, oh my lord. Instead you just tax more, you're increasing the size of the federal government. Yeah, the Georgia surprise. You'll be done like Detroit, man, no, you ain't coming back. Forget it, I'm out, I'm muzzle-loading. Mr. America.
Okay,
wait,
I need one more verse.
Right. This, so don't deny the historical climbing out of the mud. Follow me, believe it's green, plant the seeds and be free.
You guys know how.
See, now that one
chorus
came,
is like the least pleasant thing I've ever
heard. That's the
like I'd rather listen to most of the fire alarms I've ever listened to.
You know how they said
then
that,
hear that chorus one more time in my life.
No. I got the point. You know, this is like a no poetry after Auschwitz moment.
Wait a second. You mentioned in the article it says they performed Mr. America at the 2012 CPAC, and there is a video of them performing it to a crowd full of senior citizens who are just like utterly bewildered. Wait, I need to watch this. Hold on.
No, it's later on. They pan out.
Okay, here we go.
There she is. Oh, she's wearing a fanny pack. She's got literally
there's a woman
blue
in
hair.
There who did you get? You guys just watched it.
The N word, right?
It's yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
The
yeah,
woman
yeah,
with
yeah.
the fanny
I
pack.
Think they're wearing trash
wait,
jackets.
Wait, Crowder just said the N word
yes,
in this video.
Yeah, I did. Yep.
What, niggers?
Yeah, look, he looks right at the guy. What an awful human being that is.
Okay, now the that one was
brutal.
Just,
like, I mean,
just
oh
brutal.
God.
Just Crowder and
can
Chris
you just imagine they like listening to this and like it is it's very unpleasant to listen to, but I don't want to stab my ears out with a pencil. Can we put some auto tune in?
Yeah,
like if they just layer on just aggressively unpleasant
all right,
sounds.
Here's one that this one is a wild card, Alex. But I'm really glad that you included it because this is a both sides moment. You did include "Sensual Pantsuit Anthem" by Lena Dunham, which is in every way as grating and offensive as every single one of these, if not more.
Yeah, but
so.
Here's what makes it. Here's what. In her mind makes it okay, and what actually makes it way worse is that she knows it's bad. It's a joke.
The best part about this is, you mentioned at the very end of the video, Lena Dunham turns to the camera and goes, I wonder if I'm actually hurting her chances of winning. And this video came out like a week before the election.
Yeah.
Remember how Lena Dunham was like a high-profile surrogate for the campaign?
I used to listen to Pantsuit Anthem for just a second.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Yes, we
none
do.
Of us yeah. do.
All right, next up. All right, now this one is
one.
Really good.
Very good.
Baked Alaska, MAGA Anthem. And now, I guess with all of these, like, we'll link to your article, Alex, but like the YouTube videos for these, you really don't get the full effect because I'm looking now at a still of Baked Alaska's. I can't describe how unbelievably stupid he looks. He's wearing a camo Make America Great hat, mirrored Oakley shades, and he has like the worst bleached blonde mullet.
Yeah, that's brutal.
This guy, and Alex, you pointed this out. I didn't know this about Baked Alaska. Before he worked at BuzzFeed, he was in the marketing department for the Warped Tour, which is the single fact that explains more about him than I think anything I've ever read.
Let's not
defame
the Warped
Tour. Yeah, he's sort of a holdover from like 2009, 2010 Warped Tour when it was all like Broken Side and those guys.
Yeah. Breathe Carolina.
They just have like a Bad Religion and the rest of them were just like scene crunk bands.
So wait a minute. So you're saying that he was there too late to have been John Popper's harmonica wrangler?
Yeah.
That's not what Warped Tour is. Do not insult the culture, dude.
Okay, so this is Baked Alaska, MAGA Anthem.
I just want to make America great. I just want to have a Trump steak on my plate. Making history again because my daddy keeps winning. Got the nomination.
call him. Oh, I'm calling him Daddy. The beginning. Build the wall, it just got
10 feet higher. How tall is he? He looks like he's 5'7".
He's doing like the,
oh, he's little.
The sort of,
he's
like
a manlet.
He's like, Baked Alaska's a little bit more hip than the Young Cons or Steven Crowder, so he knows that rap music nowadays is basically just singing with auto-tune.
Yeah.
So he's going with that.
Imagine Young Thug with like no charisma or creativity, and if he was just trying to replace every failed relationship in his life with a bunch of 70-year-olds being like, oh, I love rap now.
Well, the thing is that, so this was right after he kind of embraced Trump, and that was when it was, that was before he kind of made the full 1488 turn.
And now he's back.
That he's back now back with. This, yeah. So I think that for a while there, he probably wouldn't have done another rap song because, you know, it's degenerate, you know, black art. But now that he's, now that he got pepper sprayed and he's embarrassed, I guess, he might go back and like do an I'm sorry rap. Oh my God! What if he did like an accidental racist like apology rap?
Dude, if he wasn't stupid, he would be going for David Brock money right now. But like, he's just pivoting to being a regular Republican, and like by next year, he's gonna make like clown step for Evan McMullen song. Like,
yo, I hear a lot of people talking negative about Lindsey Graham, so this is my new song, Confirmed Bachelor and Confirmed Patriot.
No, he's totally made the pivot. He just the other day I saw him. He's like, look, if alt-right people want to say I'm a cuck because I don't support an ethno-state, then I guess I'm a cuck. All right?
Called it. Yeah. Who the fuck could have predicted? So
last one, but this is we're doubling down on Baked Alaska. This is even better. This is Baked Alaska. We love our cops.
We love our cops, folks, don't we?
Okay, here we go.
When I'm in a jam, I know that I can call up the man, can call up the man with a plan. When I'm on the run, all I gotta do is dial 911. We love the cops, our law enforcement. We love our military, they're important.
Will, how many listens does this have? Like, is there an audience for this?
Yo, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
They're just like,
this is the best.
It's like somebody auto-tuned Kaddish or something.
It's very like weird on every level. Because like the MAGA anthem has like hashtag alt-right scrolling across the screen and it says like, I hate cucks or whatever. But this one has none of that. It has really no shout-outs to the alt-right.
Yeah, what is the audience for this? Because like, who wants to see these bland statements like
there's
veterans
one
equal good?
In there that's going to haunt me forever.
There's a great comment to the We Love Our Cops rap from, you quoted here, from Terry Martin, who appears to be a woman in her 70s, who writes to Baked Alaska, thank you. My grown grandchildren cannot believe I am listening to and following a rapper. You are terrific.
Counterculture, dude. That's so fucking
tight. Well, yeah,
tight.
Check it out. 2018, rock. Baby. Baked Alaska, tour of nursing homes. It's going to be lit.
I just, like, I can't underscore enough, like, how looking at Baked Alaska and this, like, this clownish, like, minstrel, like, he act that he does. Like, he's such a duck. It is unbelievable that any, like... mace him again, seriously.
If he gets maced again, he might come out the other side. Is
he'll
like,
join
yeah,
DSA.
Yeah,
DSA anthem 2017. We're gonna make our politics very, very clean.
New song. We love our NPC.
Danny, we love you. You're a state worker, putting in the work. Make the girls twerk, twerk.
Danny, you always stood up to the keyboard kids. Never done a thing in their life, but you told the truth.
Oh my God.
Someone make that. Someone turn that Danny Fantante manifesto into a trap song.
Oh my God. Yeah, now he has permanent eye damage, so he can't. So he's gonna, like, those Oakleys he wears.
Oh,
are now
he's like Fetty Wap.
Yeah, exactly.
He's gonna turn into the blind sheep.
Dude, he should get his hand cut off at one of those next rallies and just have a hook and be the blind hook cheek of
a. Oh, he'll be like Captain Dan, Alex. He's gonna be like Captain Dan, the pirate rapper.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so sick.
But, like, Alex, you're right.
He's gonna be in the cast of Hamilton.
Yeah, but Alex, you highlighted pirate rap in your Hamilton article, And like pirate rap bears really like a not like a noticeable similarity to conservative rap.
I guess so, because it's in this weird space between irony and sincerity, where it's supposed to be funny, I guess, because it's like, oh, we're rapping about something that you usually don't rap about, but they're also putting like an incredible amount of effort into it, so it doesn't really work as a joke.
It's like when
it's
Crowder...
It's just something really stupid that you're sincere about.
It's like when Crowder goes, you know, for a full day spa treatment to look like a beautiful lady for his hilarious lib-triggering pranks.
Oh, I need to hear some more bars from Mr. America. Hold on.
Your little glitches need reminding of what we were.